Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical-grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kate Berlant.
I'm Jacqueline Novak.
And this is Poog, an ongoing conversation about wellness between two obsessive friends.
Two untamable intellects.
This is our hobby.
This is our hell.
This is our naked desire for free products.
This is Poog.
Today's topic,
loosely speaking,
pencil,
pumice,
the shell.
Instantly, I'm reading you as being euphoric. Is it because you just did Tracy?
Yes.
Fuck. Oh, God.
I mean, it can only be that, and I turned the day around. I can't wait to tell you. Okay, I turned the day
around.
I
love turning the day around. Okay, go ahead.
I know, it's
launch.
A shock. It's a shock.
Launch.
All right, so sorry if you can hear Mabel in her litter box, one of the sweetest sounds. Because, of course, you hear nothing except for the sound of her covering, you know, what she's done.
Her shame.
Anyway, scraping. Yeah. Probably can't hear it. I turned the day around. The last 2 days I've woken up, you know, with a scattered sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you have these dreams that are not the kind that wrap up with a neat little symbolic sort of thing to take into your day, but it's just what feels like 8 hours of admin in the night.
Oh, God. You do admin in your dreams?
It's more like just like bullshit with other people and dealing with like random shit. It's annoying. No wonder I'm so reclusive.
Sorry, I was going to gasp because you... I had a dream with you. So it's interesting to me that you like never appear in my dreams.
Okay.
Almost never. I had a dream the other night. This is so just like classic anxiety dream or something, but you and John early abandoned me at some party in Manhattan and you were like, it was like, I was looking out the skyline and you had left and I was like, where'd you guys go? And you're like, oh, we left. And I was like, you left without me? Again, nothing interesting there. Just like,
well, I think it's fabulous. I'm almost like thrilled to have like been the bitch for once in my life.
Well, I have to say that I'm actually I'm taking a dream course next week. I'm starting to. I've decided that I need a Jungian
for once and
analyst.
For all. Wait, are you going to go into proper Jungian analysis? Because it's time.
So I'm applying for one.
Okay, I want in as well, and I don't know.
I'll send you the application. It takes like many months to be matched with someone.
Oh, of course. Oh, no, to be matched. All right, it's time.
No. This is like through like the Jung Institute, and yes, it takes a long time, but you can get in there, and I want in.
No, I've danced upon their site. I mean, it's years long work, you know?
Years.
Which of course it is, right?
And I have to say, there is something in a post-COVID world about being like, oh, I could do it on Zoom, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love in person, but...
But is it necessary? Okay.
Sorry, go back with your dream.
So, no, it's just endless admin, and it's been this way the last two nights. And I wake up with a sort of scattered feeling, okay? And I've realized... And so what did I do? I took to the oldest thing pot. Well, I made my coffee. I went out into the sun, and I just go out in the sun like a grump, like let the sun warm me, fix me. Of course, I slap on SPF first. Okay.
Yeah.
I do that. I slap on my visor, my SPF. I get out there and I sit down like, and I'm like, all right, warm me, wake me. What's happening?
What time is it? I'm just trying to get a full.
Like 7:30 or something.
Oh, wow.
Because here's the thing. These days, dinner, television, fall right asleep.
When are you asleep? I've been noticing your early mornings and your... Yeah.
Like sometimes by 10:30.
That's my dream. 10:30 lights out to me is the dream.
But it's happening as a result of, I mean, it only took me 20 years to notice. If you get up early, you might go to bed early. Okay. But it's, honestly.
When the rumors are true, it stings.
It
I know.
It stings. It stings. And I guess what it is... You know, I've basically come to realize that after I eat, I can do nothing. It's over.
I can't believe that. Yeah.
And so it's like dinner. If dinner is going to be of any substance, it's over, folks. So now I'm just like, well, fuck it. Why am I, if I'm going to stay up again, like if I'm going to eat dinner at 6 or at 7 or at 8, yeah. If I'm up at midnight, it's time for another full meal.
Right, right. Of course.
So it's almost like I don't want to be one of these people that goes to bed to stop eating. I remember a guy on The Biggest Loser. It was some guy who lost a lot of weight, and it was like, yeah, I just started to go to bed early. And to me, that's just like...
Yikes.
Anyway, take me back. So I'm up early. I'm at the sun. Things are... I'm in the sun, and I'm feeling, you know, 8 hours of admin has just unfolded. Where'd you go?
Where I went, I looked out the window. I saw the light hitting the plants, and I thought... What if,
deep contemplation.
What if life is easy? Because I'm hearing you talk about this, like going to bed early, waking up early. And I've been thinking about, we talk about this on poo, but it's just like the embarrassment of like water, exercise, eat well.
Like how dare like, we talk about life if we're not on top of those? Kind of?
Yeah, something like that. Or just like hydration, like all these things. And I was listening to a podcast earlier. It's all about, you know, regulating the nervous system and all this. And it's like, all right, like breathing. Like it's just, how could it be so? It's not how, why is it, why are the easy things the hardest, you know?
Because they bore us. You know, we have roving intellects. Okay, and we simply can't be bothered.
And also, I just, at the end of the day, I refuse to live like a monk, right? I believe we've talked about this. We embrace imbalance. There's no, you know.
And the laugh is, you know, no monks are coming for us. And even monks or the nervous system, they're not asking for much.
Even monks get the blues, baby.
Well, ain't that the truth, okay? You think the only tear that falls from monks' eyes is a tear of recognition of beauty? I think not.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so the crying monk, it's like, well, was it worth it? You know what I mean? It's like, so here's someone who lives this life, right? Of like
completely
up at
devoted
six journaling
to,
with the yeah. water lemon and the, and all of it. And they're like, their vagus nerve is fully calm. They're right. still going to be triggered by something and then slip into complete.
And yet
complete,
if they're not, what's the point? Like to be born.
That's why I can't get behind any specific regimen of any kind. Yeah.
To be born. To live in ecstasy and to die. I mean, surely we're not sent here for that, are we? And I think that's what we know, right? Like we intuit that we're not merely here to transcend this plane or we wouldn't need to be here. So I feel like there's a sense that we're supposed to like get in the fucking muck of it.
Right.
Develop
right.
some grudges in order to release ourselves of those very grudges. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's there's an interplay. So
continue.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, when there are these visions of this...
No, the serene water without a wave, or, you know, like the undisturbed waters, it's just
what
like...
What is, you know, a calm human, you know? Like, what is that? Like, I don't know. I mean, surely the moment that we all transcend our emotions and bodies, the universe blinks out of existence.
Yeah, exactly.
So what
exactly.
are you left to do on a goddamn Tuesday?
Yeah, what a bore.
Raising the vibration, as they say. I mean, but...
Oh my God. I just want to say this because it happened to me today.
Doesn't have to be quick.
I've been really quickly.
Why not let it be long?
I
let it be long. I said,
okay. I have this like, admin thing, right, that involves going to the bank that I've been putting off for 6,000 years.
Of course.
And today I was like, I don't want to do it. And I was like, you're doing it. And or like, I started to do it and I started to get truly agitated in my body. I was like, and then I was like, you're going to do it. Mm. And I was getting ready to go to the bank. And I said out loud, just about going to the bank, I said, you're strong. I was like, you can do it. You're strong. Like about going to Bank of America.
Of course.
And by the way, huge thing. Truly texted my mother. I was like, and I folded it into, I tried to pretend it wasn't a big deal. I was like, yeah, I'm just doing like running errands. Like I'm going to the bank to like deal with this stuff.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And then
we'll play the casualness.
Like, oh, I'm just simply, yeah. And then the bank was closed, is what I'm trying to say. The bank was closed and it was like,
wow.
It was perfect, of course. There's nothing to even discuss. The meaning is clear.
Right.
I just about committed arson. It was just like, it was like the work that I did to get myself to that place.
Well, that to me is, I know we spoke of this on a recent recording of Poog, when the thing is anticlimactic and then we insist that therefore that is its own dramatic end. The non-end is an end.
Well, isn't, I mean, but
you know what I mean? It's forcing meaning. So it's like if you succeeded in the bank task, that would have held a certain meaning.
Right.
But isn't it even more meaningful the way that it didn't happen?
Way more meaningful. You can finally be ready and get yourself, you know, ready to do it. And the universe has other plans. And I manically texted through people like, banks closed on Saturday. What is this?
Oh, wow.
I thought banks were closed on Sundays.
Bargaining. You're bargaining.
What?
You were, you know, the phases, the denial of, they're the.
Oh, of right. Of course.
You're still in bargaining, I think. Or yeah. I guess denial.
That's the, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it applies. It applies. So
anyway, go back. I want you to take me back to where you were going.
Well, all it was is that ecstasy. Okay. I've turned the day around and it's because I woke up, my mind's darting about from everything, from what's right in front of my eyeballs. Okay. Like my plants and deciding, wondering if bougainvillea or whatever. And I say it that way and I don't know what to say about it.
You're fine. You're fine.
If I need to trim it to get more brackies, blooms or whatever. Okay, so my mind falls upon that. But it's because over on the other side of my mind is all the stuff that I'm sort of vaguely concerned about and don't know how to move forward with and don't have, you know, a direct path to solving. Meanwhile, when I glance over here and I go, plants, you know, I should just buy one. I should get one that's fully formed. Then I immediately run to, you know, the OfferUp app or something, right, and start searching for whatever. So it's like I run to the app for the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm there. I feel the grumpy, non-refreshed
You're in the sunlight,
sense
yeah.
of morning. And I go, all right, I'm going to turn to the oldest trick in the book, folks. A journal and a pen. Okay?
Yeah. It works.
Now, couldn't find my journal. Couldn't find my journal.
Yeah.
It was a very specific one I was looking for. Really nice. Got it on the road. Couldn't find it. Grabbed a thick piece of cardstock paper in a pinch. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Suddenly couldn't find a pen. What a laugh. No.
A fingernail will do.
Yeah, I found something else. Took it out front, sat there, and began to tether the brain to the page. Now, immediately I remark on the fact that the way the pen slows you, the way putting pen to page.
It hurts the hand.
Hurts the hand. It slows you. So much so that it reveals the very problem with the mind, that it's quicksilver up there, that there is no weight. And no time up in the mind. You can go anywhere. You can follow any path without any felt loss. And that's the
chaos.
Danger.
Yeah.
It's fucking chaos. You can fly to the moon and back, you know, using a word alone. But the page being forced. And then I've realized that typing, unfortunately, is also too fast. Okay. Typing, I can fly nearly at the speed of my own thoughts. I can throw a parenthetical in there. I can jot a note. If I have some other angle I want to go down, I can quickly open a new doc, start that, title that, and then go back to this doc. It can pile up at the same speed. If I'm forced to literally drag lead across a page, you know, I remember learning this in like science, paper's harder than lead. Okay. Like you were rubbing the two against each other and one is rubbing off on the other. Like, of course, paper's harder than lead, but
wow. I love it.
There's something really satisfying that the paper is literally like, that's what's happening. We think of it as like depositing. I feel like we think of the pencil, excuse me.
Yeah.
As depositing color onto a page. When in fact, the page is dragging it off of it with its own roughness. The page is
The page is forcing it out.
What's the pumice.
Wow.
And the pencil is the foot.
Yeah. Wait, let me take a second.
Isn't that weird? drag a pencil across.
Yeah.
Or here's another way to think of it. Hold the pencil still and drag a hard piece of paper across it. It's pulling it off. It's pulling it off that.
Yeah.
You'll feel it the next time you drag a pencil. You're like, oh.
No, I'm understanding it. You know what? This is getting, I'm going back to the SATs. Even you just simply trying to create an analogy. You said the foot is the, would you say the pumice? The, Don't tell me. See, it starts. The paper is the pumice and the foot is the pen.
Right.
I just haven't thought in those terms for so long and I started to shut down.
Oh, you mean in terms of literal memory, literal metaphor, like if a car is to a garage, as a blank is to a blank?
Yeah.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is.
That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel.
And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching.
So you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Babbel is convenient. Kate and I talk about it all the time.
Love the way Babbel helps you for those quick real-world interactions.
Like how to order food or ask for directions. How to have a decent conversation with a merchant.
And who doesn't want to go on vacation and know the language?
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/poog. Get 60% off at babbel.com/poog.
Spelled babbel.com/poog. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you multitask and what is the relationship? And once again, where were you? And I want to go have you finish your thought.
Well, the realization is, because by the way, the other piece of this morning about multitasking, I mean, the other piece was my phone was not around. Okay. I left it in the other room. I went outside with my piece of paper and my pencil.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. So I want to hear how did it feel?
So I sit there with my thing and I begin. Okay. And I just go like, hello. Okay. But, and then I'm like, all right, what's like flying up for me? I was like, felt the need to note the time. Like I'm in the sun. It's the morning.
Oh, I always do that. Whatever. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Just note that. Okay. And then I just go, all right, what's like feeling all over the place. Right. All right. Okay. Let's parse it. Let's tether this to the page and figure it out. Okay. Largo. Okay. I have anxiety because I have Largo show tonight. Right. That's the first thing I jot down.
Of course.
Let's take a second and sort of like look at why. What am I freaked out about here?
Nothing worse than an exciting big plan on the horizon.
Yeah. Okay, so there's that. And I was able to recognize that. I simultaneously, there's a little part of me that's relieved or even grateful to have the anxiety of the thing, because having to go do these things that I claim are my life's purpose, get me out of the house and whatever. And I get bummed out when I don't have them. So it's like, whatever. I was able to see the other side of that a little bit and go, all right. And then I was able to parse through like three particular things I was anxious about and kind of like look at them and go, you know, is that really it? And whatever. Boom. Then I moved to whatever was next. I was like, all right, what else is, was something else lurking here? And I sort of moved through them. And as I went, there were moments where something like my eyes fell upon my plant and I started to wonder if I should get a different structure for my wisteria. Uh-huh. Okay, if I need to undo the careful winding I had done around this one pole and then go, okay, do I need a pergola? You know, whatever. And I decided to note that within this ongoing paragraph, note the thought that normally I would then go and research with my phone if I was on my phone. Because I was able to feel by being in the page, I was able to feel that right now, if I were on my phone,
I would
Google that thing. Then I'd be in the app and I might be there all day.
Yep.
For example, I lost a day to you sending me whatever the hell you got on OfferUp recently.
Wait.
I forget.
Oh, my chair. Oh my God. A Herman Miller ergonomically safe.
Aeron.
Whatever the hell. Aeron. I got it for a steal on OfferUp. Although they
it
were like.
It reminded me.
Yeah.
Of OfferUp. And I went and basically I've been on there for weeks now. Okay. Yeah. But I lost that whole day. And later you checked in on something else. And I'm like, isn't it interesting? So, and you know, an OfferUp or any app, the app doesn't tell you to leave. You know what I mean? They want you to be there all day. Why wouldn't they? Right.
They want your whole life. They want your children's lives.
So I did a little circle. Anything that's like that. Oh, you know what? I need to buy batteries. Okay. I write that in, but I don't go off and handle it. Because I was, every time these thoughts occurred to me while I was writing, I thought, okay, if I were on my phone right now, I'd go to the website, I'd add, or I'd start a shopping cart on Instacart or something. Yeah. And I'd start adding stuff and then I'd see the stuff that was in my thing and I'd go into that whole mode. It's just, I mean, this is distraction. This is nothing. Yes. This is an utter bore. But anyway, I was able to get back out and continue on the sentence. Okay. And I just put a little circle next to anything that was almost like something that might need to be returned to, an idea. I don't have to then execute the idea at that moment for fear of forgetting it.
Right.
Because I've noted it. And I worked out some anxiety I was having about reviewing my materials before my show. Yeah. And like found a way, like remembered a whole thing because I was like, oh yeah, and found a way into that. And then like courageously began reviewing the materials.
It's so courageous to begin.
I was like, I'll see you back here to myself in the journal.
Yeah.
Like after.
Yeah.
And then I did that.
Yeah.
And then I did Tracy and...
Turning the day around, there's nothing... This is the thing that I always am shocked by. The mood is, it's just all ephemeral. I can feel deep despondence. And then 45 minutes later, I feel Christ
entering,
Christ's hands on my back.
Yeah.
Telling me it's all going to be okay. It's like, so you saying that last night, because I've been going to bed early. I get sleepy early these days. But last night I was at a friend's house till midnight, not to brag, speeding down the highway, got home. And then at like 12:48, purchased a blue light blocker, whatever, like clip-on reading light.
Wait, the very one we were talking about the other day? Because you sent me their website, Blue Blocksers,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Blue Blocks. And the reading light was what I wanted. Because, I mean, to think, lying in
bed. The clip-on.
That's the one I want.
That's what I got. Because I'm like, I want to live in a Renaissance world, as we all do. But it's like, I have this vision of what my bedroom could be to me. And that involves, of course, the bedside table with the abalone and the incense. And you know what? I have to say, I'm formally not acknowledging that candles are bad for you.
You mean the toxin?
I'm making the formal decision that I accept the toxins.
Right.
And I will not be.
You will not be afraid.
I will not be adjusting my lifestyle.
No, you enjoy candle and that will do a lot for you.
Candles bring too much joy. And I'm not even talking about a scented candle. I mean, that isn't referencing because that's what I have in my bedroom, but candles at the dinner table. Candles are one of the only reasons to live.
To live, yeah. They're one of the few things we've got.
Like, I'm not even remotely exaggerating.
Have you seen the candle emoji? I mean, recently? Because, by the way, it's gorgeous.
To refuse candlelight is actually to scorn not only the gods, but Neanderthals. It's to scorn fire itself.
Oh.
And the reason that we are even here, and the only thing that ever brought us together, arguably, fire.
Right. The flame.
I don't care.
Let the flame be toxic.
Let the chemicals burn. Let it happen. Right. I'm not giving up candles. So because for a while I was like, okay, I'm switching to an oil diffuser, and God bless the oil diffuser. Although of course I immediately freeze when it's like, and after 14 burns, you know, then I'm like, I have to clean it with white vinegar. I'm going to collapse into non-meaning. I cannot. So who's keeping a log? So just to get this straight.
I know. Yeah, who's keeping a log?
Someone's keeping a little log and going, well, I use the oil diffuser again. Oh, so after 14
Well, you know what I do, Kate? I take a little sticker and I stick it on the bottom half of the thing.
Yeah, and then I write the
little date on there.
Oh, my.
I mean, that's a joke, but can you imagine? I'm trying to think if I have anything, if I do that in any single area. We have a little chore wheel, and what we do is, you know, it's just like,
it's never going to be me.
It's all of that stuff. Is anyone doing it? They must be.
I mean, some
brains are capable. Like,
I feel like,
you know,
I'm having the urge for you to free me right now, because I'm like,
yeah,
you know, it's 5 o'clock and I already thought that I was going to get writing done today. I haven't, but I'm fine. I did, you know, I tidied up the house. I went grocery shopping. I went on a walk, you know,
You're defending the day in your inner core.
I'm defending the day, but I'm like, it can still, thank God it's still bright out, but I can still do work. I can still, like, I see your glow having turned the day around, and I'm like, I can still emerge from my office victorious that I was productive.
I can turn you around. You want to hear me do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to let go of the running start model. Okay. You have to let go of the feeling that you have to have the runway, that you have to have the runway of a perfect morning to lead into the perfect productivity that you're looking to happen with comfort. Okay. This is huge. This is huge. Are you ready? And this is something that I learned in one sense from that book, The Van Gogh Blues, The Artist's Path Through Depression. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's talking about like not being too precious about, you know, your creative path, and, oh, these things have to be like this for me to write, and da da da. He's like, you need to be able, and I think this is what he said. This is at least how I remember. You need to be like on a bench. I don't know why I remember it this way. I could be wrong. But I remember it as like, you need to be like on a bench, like eating a hot dog, and there's like mustard on your fingers, and like you still can get down to it and write the idea in your journal.
Painting with the mustard. Okay? Painting with the, journaling with the mustard, you're saying.
Just like with it stuck on your fingers, not like I have to get the mustard off my
hands. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll be waiting forever, of course. Yeah.
And the thrill. And then also in another thing in that book, How to Write a Screenplay in 28 Days or something, 21 Days, I think, Vicky King, book I read in high school. You know, she tells this story about having like diarrhea, like being stuck on the toilet, knowing that she could use that as an excuse to like not get her writing done, essentially.
Mm.
Anyone else would accept it. But like, and it's just, you know, because I was thinking about this the other day when I was working out. I was thinking about like the whole like, you're only cheating yourself, and how that is never convincing or appealing. When anyone says you're only cheating yourself, it's like there's something about it that feels like annoying. It's like, no, fuck you. I'm winning because now I'm relaxing and I'm not doing the sit up. So it's not quite that.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But it was this. So that phrasing is too loaded, but it's like I lost the thread. But the point is, what I have found is that there's a relief when you give up trying to make it pleasant.
I needed to hear that. Yeah.
Okay. Just, it's such a fucking relief, because you just go, and every day I'm going to try to make it pleasant. It's never going to stop. Okay. That instinct's never going to stop. I'm always going to be searching for ways to make it pain-free. Okay. But if you just, right now it's 5. Okay. Yes. You had visions for how the day would unfold, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And whatever, if you did an hour of work, you know, on the task that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And you just sat down 10 minutes from now or when we get off. Okay. Just planted your ass in a spot with a single, you know, cup of coffee, whatever you need.
And did it. Yeah.
And set the timer. Try 20 minutes. See how you feel.
I love you. No, I have to be honest.
It's huge.
The hour, as someone whose, you know, brain is absolutely atrophied from ADD and phone addiction and all of this, only recently.
I beg to differ. I see it. It's a glittering wonder still. But anyway, I'll let you continue.
I love you. But I only recently realized that even just an hour feels somehow doable, that if I actually sit in the office and really do just work solidly for an hour, I'm like flooded with euphoria and I feel like I can do anything.
Oh, I once went from being literally on the floor. I don't know if I ever told this story on poop,
Post-its?
But I went from literally being on the floor.
Yeah.
Sobbing in depression.
Yeah.
To up at my desk, upright in a spotless room, having reinvented time. Okay. Some would tell.
The room is spotless? That helps.
No, I made it spotless. That was the journey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay.
Yes, I got it.
So from lying in a pile on the floor sobbing, okay, to upright at a now clean desk, working my way through the problem of time. And you know, one wonders, did I go too high? Did I soar too high? Okay. But I don't know. Have I not talked about this on Poog, the post-its?
I just said post-it, yeah. But no, but I love what you're saying. And you've helped me. This is something in our friendship that you've continually, a theme that continues, is you telling me to just like accept that things aren't easy. I don't know. That it's like, I can't create the pleasurable experience. I just love pleasure so much.
So do I, though. I don't want to be mistaken, because I spend all my time trying to avoid pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I know this so well. You know what I mean? Like, I make no mistake. I give advice I struggle to follow.
The writing in the morning light. And that's why, because there was a time even on Poog not so long ago that I was doing this like mornings, right? I was like, it's all the morning. Right. And I was waking up in the morning light and on my face writing. And that was glorious. And it doesn't mean I can't continue that again, but I can't abuse myself for having let go of that schedule. And I can still have a great evening. Well, I already have a bath plan. My bath is going to be my treat after I work for an hour.
God, if only there was a way to realize the work as the treat.
Well, I realize, no, I'm actually having a lot less dread historic, like right now, for whatever reason, it's still so hard, but I'm having so much less dread than I've had in the past toward doing this. And guess what? You can think in the bathtub, which I realized the other day. I was in the tub and I was like, wait, I can think about ideas in here.
You can choose what you're going to think about. Yeah. Yeah.
It is frustrating when you can't write it down, but yeah.
Well, I have a little notepad in our shower, waterproof, that sticks against the wall. It's called, I forget what it's called, but it's the little tagline is "No bad ideas down the drain."
Genius.
I know.
Simply genius.
It's a charmer. But, you know, I pitch this Taskmaster shit at you, because I berate myself with it throughout the day. So I don't want you to suffer at the very hands of, but I actually mean there is, because I'm not one of these life's hard kid. I do believe.
No, I know you're not.
You know, so it's like.
No, it's like, a deep relief, what you're saying. It's a deep relief.
There's a way in where you can go. Like sometimes like the one thing that'll get me past my own avoidance is like this kind of furious, put upon kind of anger.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll just have to show them how it's done then, or something. I don't know. I'm not really sure what it is, but it's like, I guess it's going to fucking suck. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then like in I go with a kind of rage. I mean, this is, I guess, how people get addicted to rage. I don't know. The answers aren't there. And every day we are new, you know?
I know, it's true.
I mean, that's the...
The revelations only last... They're so brief.
Well, they're brief and I hate to say it. I hate what I'm about to say. Are you ready? I hate it so much. You know, the revelations are great, but they're not action. Okay.
I know.
And.
No more. What was this is a while ago. I was like, no more epiphanies. Yeah.
No more epiphanies. Yeah. Because you and me, we get ecstasy.
Cling to the epiphany. Yeah.
We get ecstasy and an epiphany. And I mean, and that's why I think you and me on the sea bobs were so... revelatory. Meanwhile, we were trying to have epiphanies during. I mean, not trying. We were.
That's the
screaming
thing.
When action takes over.
Okay, that's one thing. The Seabob. Those moments when you're trying to. When a moment is so perversely spectacular that you're like trying to instantly. It's like the epiphany has to. That was a moment in my life that I'll remember forever, and it was this moment of like I've never been more free. I'm in the ocean with you. I feel it was like it was a dream state. It was utterly surreal. It was like full integration. It was psychotic. And even as I'm barreling on the water, I'm going, and what does this mean? I'm still trying to locate meaning in it.
I know. Oh.
Because it's too profound. The imagery is too profound.
Always. I'm always, you know, reaching for the pen inside of my water vest or whatever, you know, inside of my flotation device. It's.
And we were at each other screaming, being like, this is outrageous. Like,
But we weren't completely... To our credit,
we were in the we were present.
We stayed present. I have to say, like
we were absolutely present.
Like we kept diving back under the water. We couldn't.
I actually could cry. How much I want to go back.
Well, I just, and then we become locked in. You see, like, we're fools, okay? Because we become locked in on CBOBs, like literally the device itself.
I know.
Okay. The motorized unit, I became convinced.
Was the only pathway to revelation.
Is what we need. And this is how people, chase, you know, chase things. And that's fine. We're earthbound and it is what it is. But the being in the water with you, diving under and over. Okay, soaring, bouncing along, the simplicity of speeding the thing up. I mean, and I, even in my own, you know, way, I mean, I believe I mentioned this, but my past life memories during that aren't, that I don't necessarily believe are real, but when I zipped under the water.
The ship. Yeah.
I heard myself and sort of captain's voice say, we didn't have a thingamabobs like this in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this would have been useful, like fishing Johnny out of the depths, you know?
The barracuda was in my dream the other night. I just remember.
Are you serious? I almost sent you another picture of a barracuda.
For those who didn't listen to the episode, we came across a barracuda and then later learned that we had been eerily close to having our faces lashed off by a barracuda.
Lashings?
Sustained lacerations from a barracuda.
Sustained. I just think, like, there's something about being lashed by something soft. And that being violent, like, so not a tooth, right? Not a barracuda's jaw, right? But like the violence of being lashed by the tail of a fish, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Is funny.
Sliced,
to me.
The face sliced open by the tail of a fish.
Yeah, just softness.
I've never had ocean
plus speed equaling violence.
I've never had such an experience of the ocean as that. And I have, wait.
Like if you were cut by the hem of a woman's skirt, you know, she shuffled by.
Okay. Wait, Jacqueline, I'm sure you talked about it on the podcast, but I just cannot remember. Did you talk about the shells?
I'm not sure.
Because that's
And by the way, I just came across it again. It's huge.
My shell is on my desk, prominent display as like an altar object to my subconscious. And
we were, if we did, I don't care. Okay, we're going to tell it again. We'll tell it quicker this time.
Yeah, we'll tell quicker. But this is, if you've heard it, just fast forward.
We're snorkeling together.
In the crystal clear waters.
Crystal clear. The sand is very clear. I spot what looks like just the most classic sort of Campbell's soup, if they had a sea-based variety noodle, okay, classic shell.
Classic,
you expect, the kind of conch type, I guess.
Yeah,
And down I go, and I grab it.
Describe the size, though.
And even resting inside of it, the size, it's actually quite small. It's only probably 2 inches.
Yeah, just for
it's
the crowd. Perfect. Yeah.
In case anyone's listening. And there's a tiny shell lodged within it, but I spot it, I grab it, and I show Kate. Okay, we surface every couple of moments.
We're at the surface, bobbing,
You know, bobbing, and I go, look, okay? And I see Kate recognize its beauty sort of in a just pure manner first. And then I see, you know, I guess, I don't know, greed, ego, lust, covetous energy. I see the human come, you know, fly up within her, animate within her, and down she goes, okay? And I go, what's going on? Okay, and I know what's going on, but I dive under to watch the show. And Kate is shopping. Kate is scouring. The sand.
Unharmonious lust, just digging through the white sand. Where's my shell? Where's my shell? I must find it.
And find one as good.
And yes, of course. And I'm not kidding. I pushed a fish out of the way. There was this moment where I was like looking and there was like, maybe I almost did. I don't think my hand actually made contact with the fish,
grazed
but I practically shoot a fish away because I wanted...
And I became a token.
I became so overwhelmed because I attached so much meaning to this trip, to snorkeling, to me snorkeling. And I was like, if I don't get one of these goddamn shells to take home and remind me of this experience, then the experience will dissolve instantly. Right. I found a shell, folks. Just kind of telling you, I found a shell. And it does sit on my desk as a, you know, as a token to my lust, I guess.
You know, mine's sitting there and I almost sent a picture of it. But there was this sort of moment of, I mean, I love moments where you and a friend...
There was something else about it too. There was something else. You know what I mean? There's like there's something more about me shopping. There's something else that happened. Was it like,
well, was there a moment where you tried to shake it, rattle it from my fist and into your own?
I may have. I do have a snatching problem. It's an only child thing.
Oh, right. Like, did I feel your hand? Was there a moment where?
It's not my excuse, but did I grab it? There was something else that happened that was outrageous.
I mean, I saw your rabid.
You saw it,
like lust, and I thought, And then I think the night came in again where I started to try to find you one myself.
So sweet, yeah.
Okay, the night was going to deliver.
Oh my God, Jacqueline, I'm actually remembering how sweet you were about it because you were like, you'll find one, you'll find one. And I was like, yeah,
oh
yeah,
my God.
No, I'm sure. You were soothing me in this way. It's outrageous.
I know, because but I was trying to maintain the boundaries of not, because I can go the other way, which is to immediately dump it on you.
Yeah.
Like, take mine, take mine.
Right, right. Which I never would have taken it. You have to know. Yeah.
Unless it was so clear that, like, I had no need for it.
Yeah, if it was truly meaningless to you, but...
And I truly didn't want it, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there was a time, it reminds me of an act of utter selflessness. Like, I think one of the true acts of utter selflessness, okay? So, you know, like a taco salad when it comes in the fried tortilla bowl shell?
Of course.
So me and my oldest, dearest friend growing up, when we were like 12, we get dropped off at the mall or we, you know, get to go away from one of our mothers and wander the mall ourselves for a few hours. And we would go to this, at the food cart, we go to Zapata's, okay, and get the taco salad. And, you know, it was just, we just looked forward to this taco salad all the time. This is the only place where we had the fried tortilla shell bowl.
Yum.
Which, I mean, you know, is very exciting. Okay. Now,
oh, yeah.
I know there's a lot of, you know, maybe in California, you know, you're having them every day. Okay. But this mall food court restaurant, so we would get it and it just, I mean, it had everything, you know, the beans, the cheese, the lettuce, the everything you could want, the guacamole, the salsa. I mean, okay. In that delicious, and it was a really good one, the shell. And so we'd take it and we'd eat it and like this just this pure intensity. Like we just like eat it. And I remember like we got that, like savor every bite. And we get down to the final bit and I would eat like faster most likely. And my friend got down to where she had like this one perfect, like ripped off piece, like perfect fried, ripped off piece of the side that had like some lettuce, some beans, like just a perfect thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was almost like it was the last bite. And she just said, have it.
Wait, hang on. You were sharing a salad?
No.
She took...
I had finished mine. And she somehow, she just decided, she knew that it would be so outrageous, right? It would be so outrageous that she was actually able to get the joy of taking me from believing that I had no more.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And knowing that the joy I would get would be to be brought from the depth of I have no more taco salad left to there's a bite ahead of me.
Yeah.
But that emotional leap would be so much bigger than even just her just getting her final bite, which who cares?
Beautiful. Pure love.
The other night, tacos and salad I was eating, okay? A delivery with Chris. And I thought we had both dumped our tacos like onto the salad in this way. And then we're just eating the salads because we're watching something.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum. We both finish our salads at the same time. I close up my box. And then what do I see? He just sort of like sets his salad aside and like out of nowhere comes.
Produces a taco.
The original box with the two tacos. And I was like, you bastard. I was like, you bastard. You know, like. I thought we were on the same track and you're actually just heading into the best part of the meal.
Yeah. So what happened?
Nothing. I just noted it and said I better pay more careful attention. You know, if I want to not experience the jealousy.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret. And hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover free life.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I have two things. This is pivoting way off completely.
And I want to talk about when you thought you were going to die on the plane, because I have something to say about that.
Wait, remind me. I don't remember.
Well, something, because I never got to tell you.
Oh, let's talk about this. This was recent.
You'll remember the other thing. So was I on a plane too? No. You texted me
alone.
From a plane. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said to me something
coming
like
back from New York. Yeah.
You said to me something like, the electricity has just gone out on half the plane. They said it has something to do with the engines.
Okay. I have something to say here. Just for context.
Don't reveal the truth, though.
I won't. I have a United Airlines flight credit, which is, of course, hell on earth. So right. I've been texting Jacqueline. So I bought a United flight, whatever. I had to cancel it because of COVID stuff. I have this credit for United that I'm begrudgingly like, I have to spend this. I haven't been on a United plane in 4,000 years. And I was instantly gutted by the quality of life on the United plane. And I have to say, like, the first time.
What did I tell you?
You said never.
Because you texted me.
Yeah, I was like, I texted you from coach and I was like, I'm in United Airlines.
And I told you, because I always thought it was bullshit. Okay, United is the first time I realized that what plane brand you're on matters.
Is real. No, I know. I was like, get me to Delta.
I was shocked when I went on United flight once.
I couldn't believe it. It was, and by the way, the plane was an old plane, which I know all airlines have that, but this was... So even a Delta main cabin experience is way above this. And by the way, I spent a little extra to be in an aisle seat. It was like economy plus. And I said, what's the plus, folks? Because I can't locate it at all.
Locate anything that could be worse. Yeah.
And there were these other factors with the flight. Like I was sitting there. It was like... it was like a plane full of like outcasts. It was like everyone was like... having the worst year of like the worst day of their life.
Yeah. Just shuttle to hell.
Yeah. It was a shuttle
to the island
hell.
Of the misfit.
It was like everything that you would hate, like every like kind of fellow passenger doing the activity and the,
oh wow. Right.
This always happens when you're on an aisle and people are unaware of like, take your backpack off, put it to the front of your body. You're slamming people's heads. Like that kept happening. Also, I have something to say.
Yeah. Swinging it around.
On both legs of this United journey, the flight attendants multiple times like bumped into me and other, like I saw it happening, like them like knocking the cart. Like, have you ever had your body knocked by a Delta cart? Absolutely not. We all know to keep the elbows in. Something else was happening. Anyway,
yeah,
the flight, it was horrifying. And every kind of like, it was just the strangest group. Okay, anyway, I text you.
No, I'm just taking it all in. So I've always assumed that any big flight.
Oh my God.
What?
Just another detail I don't want to forget is that midair at one point, I had to pee so bad. Okay. I was avoiding the bathroom because I went into it once and it was a literal flush, like from the 80s, like an old flush. The plane was so old. I was shocked. It reeked of piss, like an actual like.
Oh, versus what? A button or
like,
whatever?
Like at a home toilet. Yeah. Versus a button versus it was like an actual lever.
Right, I was like, you open the toilet, you just see a hole straight to San Francisco below.
I was completely aghast. So I had to pee. I get up. This guy goes in front of me and he's in there for so long where I said, well, I am not going in there. And I really had to pee.
Not going into his hell throne.
So I was close to the first class. Can you believe this?
Oh my God.
So there's a curtain. At this point, I hate United so much. There's a curtain separating main cabin from first class. No. I boldly push the curtain aside.
Incredible.
And do a straight catwalk. I see that it's open to the first class bathroom. I go in there.
Well, you know that you can't go up there. You got to act like you belong.
It is better. Yeah. Exactly. Pissed.
You have to look like you're someone that accidentally got rerouted, like back, like someone's pushed you through the curtain. You fell, you tumbled through the curtain back into coach, and now you're rightfully reclaiming your place in first.
Well, also because I was like, oh, this is how, because if somebody said, because in my mind I went, okay, so a flight attendant says, hi, you really can't use this bathroom. I go, okay. Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? And like, if I say,
you could go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize the bathrooms were actually.
No, I wouldn't even say that. I'd be like, it was an emergency. I already had in my head. I go, it's an emergency, which is so disgusting because that only conjures like diarrhea. But
it was your emergency. It was an emergency. And I figured, which would you rather me do?
But that kind of gall only came from my anger toward United. Okay. Going back to me texting you.
So you text and I'm like, well, a couple things. You're like, so the electricity has gone off on half the plane.
Yeah. We're sitting by the, sorry, this is when we're sitting. We're on the jetway going to leave.
Well, this
I've never experienced this. I've never experienced this on a plane. Everything powered off. The airflow stopped. The lights stopped.
On one side?
And on the entire plane.
Okay.
The most eerie silence. And I'm going, and
that's actually less scary to me weirdly than if it were half. Okay. But anyway, go on.
I see what you're saying, but it was scary because it was like the airflow stopped. It was suddenly getting so hot. And I'm going, where's our pilot? I'm expecting an immediate or a flight attendant coming.
I got you.
Hey, folks, sorry. We had to turn something off. It'll be on. We are left there to die.
Yeah.
To choke on fear. I could not believe it. And I was like, this is unacceptable.
Are you looking around going, how am I getting out?
Just no one. And then after a couple minutes, it was brief, but not so brief that I didn't expect an announcement. Everything comes back. The pilot comes on and goes, hey, folks, we're having an electricity issue with the plane. Somebody's going to come fix it up. We don't expect that much of a delay. And then I start to go,
should I get off?
Oh, never actually did I really entertain that, but I was just nervous. And I'm not a nervous flyer.
Here's what I experienced. Okay. Here's what I experienced. You say, you know, I'm on the plane, whatever. And you say the thing's turned off and da, da, da. Okay. You're like, am I dead? Okay. Whatever. Right. And I was like, I think you're fine. Okay. I thought you were in the air.
Jacqueline, what? We've never acknowledged.
I know. There was never time. There's always too much to talk about.
Wait. Jacqueline, what? You know, I can't text from the plane. My phone won't let me. It's an eternal struggle.
No, I didn't. I believed you were like maybe on your computer through the Wi-Fi, whatever. Okay. I just assumed like, because that's why I assumed that you were afraid and seeking comfort because you're in the air and something fucked up's happening.
Terrifying. That's really scary.
And you're like, you're saying it's something with the engines. And I'm like, well,
were you
that's
scared
not
for
great.
Me, Jacqueline?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay, at first.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this. This is unreal.
But, you know, I mean, this is what's so disturbing. This is why everything is terrifying in life because what am I going to do in that moment? I'm going to say you should be afraid. You should jump out the side. You know?
Yeah, I love you no matter what happens.
Yeah. It's like.
Start saying your goodbyes.
Yeah. It's not. And so it pretty quickly you clarified that you were still on the ground. At which point I had to decide whether to tell you to, you know, run for your life. Okay. But then you shared with me and it really made me laugh. And I've thought about it ever since. you shared with me the panic texts you sent your mother, in which I'm gonna deliver the quote.
I screen grabbed and sent to you. Okay, great, because you're like the exact audience for it. You're the only okay. person I could send.
You're
this
like
to.
There's like some issue with the plane, you know, almost like if it goes down, or like just want to say, and then just you've been extraordinary to your mother.
Do you have the yeah? I'm like, what did I actually say?
Oh, you my definitely mom said like you stop. Definitely the words. Like, I just want you to know, yeah. whatever, but you've been extraordinary.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
you were extraordinary, not, you know, you are extraordinary. Just, you've been, like, it's this, it leaves just enough space for the fact that, like, there's something about the you've been.
Yeah.
That is so yeah, yeah. perfectly located inside of one at the moment of one's death.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
have been and are.
Yeah.
And just, you've been extraordinary. Saying that to your mother, it's like, it's almost like a maternal sentiment, like,
totally.
It's like in that moment, by virtue of your proximity to death, yours being, yeah. you're more proximal to death than your mother, you take on a kind of wise grace.
Right, totally. Yeah.
To be able to call your mother and how she has been extraordinary.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. I was sort of moved and impressed by the calm in that.
Yeah.
There's just something really like, beautiful about saying extraordinary. And I know what it means, like, from you and about your mother, and I know the whole, like, the whole of what it means. I see an elderly, wise Kate that is grizzled.
Oh my God.
Okay. A dog with gray hair. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I see it. You, an old wolf woman. You know what I mean? And yet it was coming out of you as a very young woman towards, you know, an older woman. In this moment where you, by virtue of just neuroses, believe you're at death, but you're not, you weren't seeking her to make you feel anything. You were actually literally giving to her.
Yeah. Setting, wow.
I mean, that's what I got out of it. You transcended your own fear there.
I love you. Wow. Thank you. Yeah. You know, thank you. And my mom, of course, immediately responded like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I remember she was like, baby, no.
Yeah.
She was like, like telling me not to.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
But then she, of course, was like, you know, she eventually was like, they're not going to fly if it's not safe. Yeah. And I was like, right, of course, of course, of course.
And I think it's better when they note an issue on the ground. Because when the issues happen, when they zipped off.
Oh, yes, it is, folks. I don't want to be flying over Iowa when they go, so the engines are down.
Yeah, because they zipped off also, believing everything was okay. Someone's looking out if they clock an issue on the ground, I say.
You know, the most dangerous moments of flying are, I think, the first 5 yeah. minutes. That's when things are likely to go south, if they're going to go south. And so I had a little bit of, like, the anxiety wasn't even that bad, but we got up there. And then I was grateful that I was alive and the plane was working. So the hell of United somehow sunk a little into the background. And I will say this, one leg of the United flight was pure. So the way there was the coming. Horrifying. What?
No, I remember what you did. You worked.
Wait, I don't remember.
For the first time in your life.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So this is huge. On the way, on the outbound United flight, I was horrified by everyone around me. I mean, people are being wheeled on in like full body casts.
Like, I remember I told you you can still achieve a kind of ecstasy in a coach seat. Yes. I told you, I was like, it's possible. Like, you're going to get your coffee. Like,
no,
like
exactly.
You will be served a drink.
I could not believe the people that were being brought on this flight and everyone like screaming. It was the craziest thing in the world. It was
right. It was the bassoon, the you know, it was a full brass band, full brass
and
band.
The flight attendants knocking into us. Yeah. Yeah. It was outrageous. And so then I go, I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to work. And for the first time, I'm not exaggerating here. For the first time in my life, I actually wrote on a plane and I wrote for hours. Somehow like the hours went away. It was astonishing. So way back, newer United flight, still annoyed, still like, what part of this is premium plus? What did I pay the extra $60 for or whatever? Right. I'm furious. I am moved, and I will give this to United, by the film selection.
Wow.
It was a newer plane. The old plane, by the way, had a screen from the 80s that was like trapped on, it was like, yeah, like it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And but also I didn't even want it to work because it was only offering like one movie from 1904. Yeah. It was, you know, they're like only playing The Great Dictator or something. Yeah. It was insane. And so on the way back, newer plane, screens, moved by the film selection.
Right.
Wait, what did I watch? I watched the Anthony Bourdain doc.
Right. And you were like,
and then I watched something strange. What was it? And then I watched Charlie's Angels. But that's
when
true.
You find something you want. I mean, it's how I discovered the 911 programming, of course.
I couldn't believe the selection on United, I have to say.
But the containment, I will say for Coach, there's a kind of ecstasy in just how close you are to other people, and yet you thus have to define your space merely through your focus alone.
Yeah.
You have to define your space. So that's where writing, working on a plane, you know, in the smallest United seat, you have your tray. It's like you have so little, but then you get to enjoy it, and this, you get to savor it like a single cracker. And often there is literally a single cracker. You know what I mean? Like, there's a weird kind of pleasure in not being able to move your elbows, but making it work. Like, that's why the coffee becomes so valuable. Like,
I never drink plain coffee, but I had a plain coffee on the United flight as I landed, and it was rat piss. but I could enjoy it because I had worked, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, there is no substitute for when you're finally facing the thing you're putting
cream
on.
And sugar. It's such a cream and sugar scenario. I mean, and I say,
I had a little cream in a packet.
Yeah. And I'll say, sometimes I'll do a little cream. It's like, I don't know. There's something that just feels very 1980s about drinking a little coffee in a pleasurable way. You know, I'm a businesswoman of the 1980s.
Oh, of course.
I'm going to drink my small coffee and have my horrible coffee breath.
I'm landing in New York. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm a woman of the 90s now, and I'm doing a bit of, it's fun to be a hag in that way. God, you know, you've been extraordinary. It'll be interesting to know you at 99.
Oh my, well, often thinking about you. Yeah.
And I always assume, I knock no wood. I assume there's no reason to knock wood. There's no we don't have to make constant accounts for the fact that death may strike at any moment.
Right.
So I will continue to speak of us at 95. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh, well, obviously, as I've said, thinking about being old and you being old, thinking about friendship sustains. It allows, it's the true, it brings me great comfort to think about being old and knowing you. Okay, so I'll pivot wildly into the final section. Something I prepared today to eat. I want to say that, as we all know, I took months off social media. I relapsed, and I'm, you know, can say that. Yeah.
Fully. You're scrolling. Your thumb is moving.
I would say it's a full relapse. Yeah. I would say because I've had mornings waking up, immediately looking at it, doing scrolling and continuous. Yes. I would call it a full relapse.
Yeah.
And in this relapse, which, by the way, now I've since deleted and going back to staying off. And I have to say, one thing that was really hard that I missed was on the Poog Instagram, reading all the beautiful messages from you people.
Oh no, you're going to encourage them. Okay.
Anyway, the point is,
encourage them to DM, which is like a hell space. I mean, yeah. I say, if you have something you need to communicate, email the email address located at the top. DMs are impossible to manage.
Sure. But the DMs are really hard to manage. If you have something more pressing, I'd bring it to the to the Gmail. But anyway, I was loving it and feeling very, very happy.
Include the words gift in the subject and you might get ahead of the line.
Oh, but in my relapse, I saw this thing, which maybe other people have seen, which was like, Jennifer Aniston ate this salad every day for 10 years, which is, of course, a shocking lie and not possible.
That Courtney and Jennifer ate this salad every day of Friends for 10 years. I saw that it was that they both ate it. It was the headline I saw. What's in it?
Okay, so I was looking at it and I go, that's good.
Okay, feta, red
pepper. I've made it twice. Today I made it again. And I have to say, it's really delicious. And you know what I really like about it? It's just very filling.
If it's a squeeze of lemon as dressing.
No, I'm being curious. Sweetheart. Absolutely not. So here's what it is. The recipe says quinoa or bulgur wheat. I enjoyed bulgur wheat personally.
Funny, I thought it was a salad.
No, exactly. So it's a warm salad. It's bowl. It's carb. There are beans and grain in it. Hence it being filling.
Yeah.
So bulgur wheat.
Right.
Chickpeas.
Right.
You chop up cucumber. You chop up red onion. You chop up parsley.
Just tabbouleh.
You chop up
mint.
We're in a tabbouleh landscape.
Absolutely. It's a tabbouleh profile completely. Mm. The only difference is there are no tomatoes and there's more. What else? I mean, and then you add feta. You add feta.
My first guess was feta. Because everyone loves feta in the 90s.
So you add feta, lemon juice, olive oil, tons of salt and pepper. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And you know what?
How big though? Because like to me, there's nothing in there that takes up space. The volumetrics are off for me.
No, but the volume, well, you're not going to want to hear this, but the volume is the cucumber and the chickpeas.
Well, I'll take it from the cucumber. But
what I did is I made this giant one and then I, you know, ate part of it, put the rest in the fridge. And
I've never been able to do that.
I know. And oh, and did I say walnuts? I also added walnuts. The recipe says pistachio, but I have to say I loved it. And there's another thing that's very 80s/90s. My mother eats this from time to time. And I went over, it was like, felt like such regression. Like I went to my parents' house to pick something up and it was like 11 a.m. and I was starving. I hadn't eaten. I was like, I'm hungry. Like, what's the thing that you, she will do? Cottage cheese. Do you eat cottage cheese?
I love cottage cheese. It's heaven. The smaller the curd, the better. But yes, I love it.
I've been really scared. I've been, you know, in this constant push-pull with dairy and of trying to avoid it, but why? Yeah. Right. And I go, well, I know why. And I go, but it brings me so much joy. So
the candle.
Today I actually purchased cottage cheese, grass-fed half and half, because I realized my morning coffee.
You're back.
I want half and half. Okay. I'm back. I mean, I still have the coconut milk and I bought more New Barn coconut milk because I was enjoying it so much for smoothies and whatnot. Okay. I bought cottage cheese. I bought grass-fed half and half.
Because
if you're going to do dairy, you really should try to do grass-fed.
Well, yeah. I mean, what else are they eating? Corn?
And then I bought some Greek yogurt. So, but the point that I'm trying to say is that my mother does is she does cottage cheese with like a chopped up mango or like some kind of fruit, right? Like a
pineapple?
Sure, but more so like she'll do mango or she'll do apple or something. But then nuts, almonds, roasted almonds on top. Cinnamon, she puts like some stevia on there or something. But the point is that I haven't purchased cottage cheese in my entire life. That's kind of what the moral of the story is. And I did today.
Cottage cheese is ecstasy.
And I'm really excited.
The small curd kind.
And it kept me full.
That's the thing. Because I'm like, okay. I know that sound upsets some people. Okay. But there's something, or I feel like a little salt. You do a little salt on it.
Oh, wow. I just couldn't believe that I was actually satiated because so many breakfast items. Unless I'm eating eggs, you know, and like another thing I love to do is I've been on a charred revolution.
Charring what?
Charred, like Swiss chard, sauteed.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a charred romaine.
Swiss chard, sauteed in a pan with tons of salt and pepper and lemon, olive oil.
I guess I was raised with it being called chard.
Chard.
I don't know. Swiss chard.
And then I fry some eggs and put them over the chard. God. It's like heavenly.
Well, a fried egg.
Well, by the way, an olive oil fried egg.
Mm.
And what I'm talking about is a...
Preferable to butter for you?
Yes, actually. And what I'm talking about also is when you take... You have to do this in a regular like stainless steel pan.
Okay.
You pour the olive oil in. You crack the egg in. You walk away. It screams away. The amount of bubbling. Well, you don't walk away because you don't want to burn the house down. But... You have to stand back because the oil's popping. It's wild. And the olive oil fries the egg in a way that is so wild. And you kind of shift the pan, allow the oil to go over the top of the egg.
Yes.
And it's crispy heaven. Mm. So I'll fry up a couple eggs in the olive oil, put it on top of the chard.
Fried eggs, suddenly
I'm in Tuscany. Yeah.
If you could only have an egg one way, I think it's over easy. If you could only have an egg one way.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
For me, it's over medium forever. I
was going to say over medium, but... The reason is because do you want any bright yolk to run?
Yes.
And do you accept that as part of, do you think that's part of medium? To me, ideally it is.
I'm really glad we're having this conversation. Yes. The way I prepare, yes, there is some run. Absolutely. It's maybe more.
But you're guaranteed that nowhere else is going to be undercooked. That's why you order.
Exactly. So I cannot handle.
Over medium. But I've ordered over medium a couple times and gotten something where
it's hard.
Where it's basically hard. And so I have to sort of split the difference and basically feel out the chef. Okay.
But over easy you have the gelatinous.
The gelatinous white?
Makes you want to absolutely
the gelatinous
throw
white,
up.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Over easy?
Yeah. I can't handle that. Yeah. Absolutely.
If there needs to
over
be
over easy.
I know, but
I'm sorry. I'm thinking, oh my God, guys.
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up. I'm thinking of Sunny Side Up, which is over easy is when you flip it and then you basically serve it, right? Yeah.
Okay. I've lost the thread. I got news for you. Sunny Side Up to me and over, I thought Sunny Side Up was over easy, I guess. I mean, or that's what I've been ordering.
I'm Googling over easy egg. I'm sorry.
Googling versus.
Yeah. Over easy is maybe actually more what I love, which is gently you turn it over just once so it cooks a little, but it's still very runny.
That's
so
heaven.
There you go. Yeah, that is heaven.
Oh, wait, hold on. What's the difference between over easy and sunny side up? I'm sorry. I need to hear it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, to make a sunny side up egg with fully cooked whites, which is what we want, right? Right? We want the white fully cooked.
Yeah, dear God, yes,
right?
I don't want that.
We're not there for that, right? You can gently run the spatula through the whites to spread out the runnier part of the, albumin or whatever.
Ew, which is, oh my God, okay.
Cook undisturbed until the white is set but not rubbery and the yolk is still runny 1 to 2 minutes, okay? So that's the dream of proper sunny side up. To help cook the top of the egg...
Is it going to involve water?
You add a teaspoon of water and a lid.
Yep. This will change your life.
The steam to cook
the white. That will change. Listen to me. I'm just excited. I'm not mad.
No, I'm thrilled.
That's the trick. And that changed my life. And that's what I did for years. That's what I've always done for years until lately I've been on the olive oil.
Well, you ready? Another way to set the egg is to, quote, baste it by spooning a little fat over the white during cooking. And that's where you're doing what you're doing using the oil.
But I want to just make that clear for everyone at home because everyone, go try this. It's shocking. You crack the egg into the pan.
Yes, this is huge.
It's cooking. Then you take, you can just eyeball this, around a tablespoon, sometimes 2 tablespoons. You put that into the pan, not on top of the egg, but like next to the pan, right? So it creates steam. You put the top on. I am not kidding you. It's going to cook perfectly. You're going to shock your friends. You're going to shock your family.
It does.
Okay.
Olive oil steam.
What?
Must.
No, sorry. You pour water in, not olive oil.
Oh, you said
this
olive
is
oil.
The non-olive oil. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. What kind of person am I?
Because I was about to raise the question.
Use
and I
water.
Was open
I'm
to
sorry.
It. All right. And
it's then, water. It's water. It's water. Which sounds so repulsive. Like I'm going to put water in with the eggs and tell
okay,
you.
Okay. And then hold on. I figured it out. No, it makes perfect sense. Now, what I'm imagining is a little lid that covers your yolk. Okay. Keeps it separate from the, this is me inventing. It keeps it separate from the egg, steaming the egg. But if you move fast enough, in theory, the white should cook way faster than the yolk.
That's
so
what happens. And you have the perfect running. And I'm going to do it tomorrow morning.
Wait, I realized what over easy is. I'm pretty sure.
Why?
To make an
flip
over
easy. Flip it once.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah.
Wait, to make an over easy egg, fry the egg until the bottom has set. Use a spatula, gently flip it. And cook until the white is set, but the yolk is still fully running. So basically, if I'm served either of those options in a restaurant, I'm happy. Okay.
Over easy or over medium. Yeah. Same.
Wait, I didn't even get to over medium.
Over medium is just more time. You just
right, but sunny just, side up versus over easy.
Sunny side up is scary.
No, but Kate, this is what you're missing. You need to listen to me. Okay. Listen to me very closely.
I'm sorry.
Okay? What I just read is that to do sunny side up right, you do the process that you just described, the one with the water. That's the true sunny side up with a non-runny white. That's the ideal sunny side up.
Well, I don't see anyone doing that. When I think of sunny side up, what I think of is a classic like diner egg where the top, there isn't that cooked film. It's just pure hell. It's pure amniotic fluid jiggling at 9 a.m.
I mean, you don't mean clear. You just mean it's already cooked to the point of being white, at least. It's just not crispy or it's not.
Yes, but it's just the jiggle. When you cut into a sunny side up egg and there's that gelatinous film, that is completely unacceptable to me. And I cannot tolerate it. Similarly, I cannot tolerate it in a poached egg. That's why I just started recently.
I sort of with a poached egg, I just close my eyes and pray and take a bite.
No, I don't do that myself. That's if it's like, I'll be like, can you please poach the medium to hard? Okay.
All right. We did it.
We really did.
Love you.
Love you.
That was Poog.
If you enjoyed Poog, please subscribe, rate, and review. If not, we will press charges.
Tired of hangovers stealing your precious time? Say bye-bye to regret. and hello to prevention with Akalo wearable vitamin patches.
Made in the USA with pharmaceutical grade materials, these patches are your secret weapon to stopping hangovers before they start. This is the first time they've run a promo like this.
For a limited time, first-time buyers get 50% off.
Don't lose another moment to a hangover.
Go to akalo.co and enter POOG50 to get yours today.
That's akalo.co, code POOG50. Cheers to a hangover-free life.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.